Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wiki Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I am your host, Dan. Joining me in the studio tonight is the lovely Miss Angel.
Hello.
And Miss Anne.
Hello.
And joining us from his studio in the great state of Michigan is Alex.
Hi.
Hey, got a little bit of feedback there. And you can join us as well. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. And that'll bring you into the studio with us. We are also live on Facebook, on the BTS Facebook page. Just head on over there and click the live stream. You can listen to us. You can also message us on the live feed, and we'll bless you.
Thank you.
We will either respond to you on the live feed or on the air. Speaking of Facebook, you can check us out. Go up into the search bar, type in Behind the Screen Radio Show. We'll be the first one that pops up. Click like, share, and follow. We kept up to date on everything going on in BTS. Also, head on over to Wikicuriosity, the Facebook page. Click like, share, and follow. We kept up to date on everything going on in Wicked Curiosity Media World. On the Facebook page, there is a link for the website, www.wickedcuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. And that'll take you to our Facebook page, or our website. On the website, you can check out pictures, blogs, on the shows, all that good stuff that's on, you know, websites and everything. You can also access our YouTube channel, which has recently been updated with Behind the Screen shows. And you can also message us or email us at wicked_media@outlook.com. You can also check out any of the Wikicuriosity Media shows on iTunes. All you have to do is type in Wikicuriosity Media. The shows are alphabetical, and the newest episodes are down at the bottom. I am currently working to update the YouTube channel with podcast and note by note.
Awesome.
But the BTS shows are on there, the ones that I was able to transfer from Facebook over to, you know, the ones that I'm able to download. So.
Good. Get it done.
Working on it. All right.
Get her done.
Get her done. God, that's such an old saying. All right. So it is Wednesday night. Anybody have anything interesting going on this week?
I spent a stupid amount of money at Costco today.
That's normal.
I brought all the big stuff, Hope.
That's normal,
dude. And I feel like I got hit by a Mack truck, thanks to Tennessee. I need to find a state that doesn't have allergens.
North Dakota.
Whatever.
Is that the only state, though? because I don't want to go to Mexico and laugh. I don't know why. I just feel like there's nothing up there. Like, who the fuck lives there?
You don't want to go to North Dakota?
North Dakotians?
North Dakotians?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, does it have mountains? Like, what is cool about it? Give me one good thing about North Dakota.
It's not Florida.
What
not
the fuck?
Thing.
It's not California.
There's no Florida guy in North Dakota.
That's the best thing about Florida. So many crazy fucking stories.
It's not Tennessee.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel like this.
Yeah.
But
it's north of South Dakota.
This is true. We have entered into the realm of shit where when you wake up in the morning and you realize that you feel horrible and the first thought is, oh my God, please don't let it be. And you got to kind of wait it out and then you're like, oh, I wish all the pollen flying off the trees.
Yeah.
I mean, true.
I was a little worried. But I got to spend the whole day with Dana, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's always nice to spend the day with your loved one.
Right. He got to build him some new Legos.
Yeah. Got to build Harry Potter Legos.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to finish all the boxes that you haven't opened?
Yeah, it was like a long time ago.
They're like in the garage?
There are no unopened boxes of Legos in the garage.
Those are empty boxes. Those will be going away.
Oh yeah, I'm okay. I'm 100% okay with that idea.
Yeah.
There's this Black Widow that lives right next to the garage door. I've been trying to trap.
Why?
So I can get it out of there.
No. I bought a whole thing of spray that says spiders on it. You spray it until it dies.
The sandal works pretty good too.
Yeah. Or you know, a shoe.
Flamethrower.
Well, it's fast as hell. Like, it was like right in my, okay, so it's halfway in my trap today, right? When I went out in the garage. So I knelt down very slowly and those spray bags are right next to it now. Because whoever threw them next to them, I don't know who did it.
Oh, great.
Listen,
Black Widow's on
I was going to say, that thing's going to like have babies. Kill it. Just kill it.
And I put my knee on the sleeping bag, and as soon as I did that, like, ew. If I had wings, I wouldn't have seen it move.
Ugh.
But it went back into its little burrow. Its burrow is right in between those two boxes.
Just spray right through there.
Fuck that shit, dude.
The hell?
Who the fuck?
I don't know. I need to,
You didn't mute your phone, sir.
There, now my phone, now my phone
my
is
phone.
Muted. There, I muted my phone. Well, I had a pretty interesting first part of the week.
Did you?
I did.
It's only Wednesday.
Yeah. But I was off yesterday.
That's true. Tell us about it.
Days off.
Huh?
I have to have some days off.
It is.
Sarcastically,
because
I don't get any fucking days off ever.
I don't think that's correct.
It doesn't feel like it.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry.
Fuck that place. I'm just kidding. I love them there. In case anyone.
You really don't. It's okay.
It's
they can't
okay.
Fire you just for saying that.
Yeah. Did you say who?
I like the money. I like the money a lot. That's all I'm gonna say. I fucking love getting cash.
Give me the cash.
Give me all the cash.
But I don't like carrying it around because then I feel like everyone knows I have it and they're going to fucking, like, stab me for a Knoxville. Like,
well, you don't carry it. I mean, you leave it at the house.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, like, I got, yeah.
And then, you know, you deposit some of it to your bank.
So. Oh, my God. Knoxville's scary, though.
It is.
Yeah.
That weird, creepy guy that was sitting next to my work this morning, that had, like, that really weird accent.
The monster with the very brightly colored bandana around his head?
Yes, the ex-fro lighter.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he come back?
No, but, okay.
No, but I've seen him before down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a regular.
Yeah.
In the area. Just got to be safe.
Or carry a knife or a gun.
Yeah.
It's always smart to carry.
It's an interesting area of town.
Yeah.
How was your guys' day or week, though, since you last had an episode?
Yeah, you said your week started out interesting.
Well, I mean, I had an interesting day hanging out with the Godfather yesterday.
You did.
So, went to a couple comic book stores. Well, I went to one comic book store and then one store that really specializes in tabletop RPGs.
Yes. And they cater to it.
They cater to it, yes, immensely. Because there's a bunch of tables and stuff.
Yeah, and it's not just, like, the typical, like, World of Warcraft and D&D. Like, they have so
many.
Oh, what's that? But they used to play that tabletop.
No. That's
what's the other one that's tabletop?
Warhammer 40K?
Sure.
Warhammer, yeah. They have a Star Trek one. They have a Star Wars
one. Well, that's what I was going to say, though. While they have a lot of, like, figurines and dice and books and cards in one area, they've also got a huge area that is just different RPG games that people can play. And that's kind of cool because some of them
have like the starter packs and the expansion packs. And
some of them I've never seen, but I'm invested in D&D, so I don't like want to start anyone, but some of them look pretty cool.
Yeah. What am I checking out? Like the Star Wars one, of course. But no, and then, you know, went to the range yesterday.
Yeah, he went and shot his gun.
Finally, got to put some rounds through my pistol.
Did you go to the one that was close to us, or a different one?
I went to the one that's in downtown Knoxville, close to the Godfather's house.
Okay, because there's one, like, right behind us.
Yeah, no, I didn't go to that sketchy
like,
one.
When me and...
This not sketchy.
...adventuring, we saw bullet holes in a sign, and we were like, maybe we shouldn't go past this.
It's sketchy.
It's extremely sketchy. It's on a back road.
Yeah, there's actually... I know, but if you've ever seen the cars that are there, there's, like, actually a, what's it called? I don't know, a government person that's always
there. She has a green...
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to come through every Saturday at my old job. Her name is Robin, and I love her today.
See, I mean, she's always there. I think
she
actually runs it.
She invited me all the time to go, but I had you have to be 18 to do it, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so sweet.
But, no, I got to finally shoot my pistol.
How'd the Godfather do?
A little better than me.
Yeah?
A little better?
A little better.
So did he actually, like, where he would, like, near where he was supposed to?
So I was, okay.
I wasn't going to say anything.
When I first started with the pistol, my pistol, I was, like, shooting way far down because I was holding it wrong. Because I was aiming down the wrong side. I don't know what I was doing, because I was aiming down the back sides and the front side, and it was causing it to shoot low. But when I finally realized that I can't use the back sides on my pistol, they only use the front sight, I was shooting a little more accurate, but right now, with my vision the way it is, it's hard for me to, like, adjust my vision back and forth between the target and the sight.
Absolutely.
So, it's a little awkward for me. So, I think I definitely know I need to get my eyes checked.
Yeah, and you need to practice with it.
And I definitely need to go more often. So.
I need to get my gun. I'm not shooting anything without a laser sight. Not.
I mean, I can get a laser sight for that. That's
yeah, like there's no way.
Bucks.
Can I wrap my hands around yours?
I don't know. You tell me. You've held it.
Yeah, kind of. It's still not the same as the other one.
Right, the MP9. Yeah.
Which is made a little smaller for people like me.
Or the LC9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it have a lot of finger reach, so to hold a gun safely and then pull a trigger safely and reach the safety at the same time, like I don't have long enough fingers.
Although, Ryan's 380, his Kimber... It's nice because it's smaller, more. It's an actual compact pistol, and I think you would. I think you'd be able to hold it well. I don't know about the kickback. It's got a little more kickback than that.
I mean, we'd have to see, especially with the way my arms are anymore.
Is it a 380 smaller?
380 is actually bigger. It's a bigger round than the 9mm.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of arm strength lately, and so I would be a little scared of hurting myself with a kickback.
Yeah.
Like not being able to stop it.
Yeah. A 380 is right below a 40. It's like a... It's almost equivalent to like a 10 millimeter round.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I used to have a 22. I don't have that anymore.
No.
They wouldn't let me have it on post.
No.
Whatever. Snitches.
Snitches get stitches. So, but no, I definitely learned that I need to, you know, go to the range more often, get a little more proficient with my pistol, and get, you know, glasses that I can actually see out of.
Well, yeah, because what you have right now are reading glasses. They are not glasses.
No, no. So.
Yeah. Really, it's been a fairly quiet week just because we had spring break last week. It was full of birthday party stuff. It's been a slow start.
Yeah. Yeah.
This week, just because we've been trying to recover from all of that.
And if you weren't with us on Sunday, we had the little's birthday on Saturday.
Yep.
Last Saturday. And
that was very fun.
It was. It was a lot of fun. And our 10-year-old daughter had a sleepover.
She did. It was literally
little girls in the living room.
It was an all-day ordeal. Like, normally birthday parties are like 2 hours. You go, you play, you open gift sheet, some cake, you leave. Not when they're at our house. It was an all-day ordeal.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of kids.
Yeah. A little more than I thought we're going to be here. That's okay, though. It was fun.
Dude, I only thought, like, 2 kids were coming.
No, it was, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It was, like, 6.
Yeah.
And he was like, how many pizzas should I buy? And I was like, oh, I don't know. There's, like, 8 slices. There's, like, 8 people. And she's, like, counting off kids. And I was like, there's 2 hands already. I don't like this. No.
And that's even before we got to the adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like 17 total. I mean, we were still under the 20% like limit for gatherings.
Yeah.
I mean, our family alone, especially if like Alex is here, that's 8, 9, 10, 12
yeah.
most of the time.
Yeah.
Can't really help that. Like,
no.
That's our family. So that's fairly normal on a few days out of the week.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's normal for our house to
13.
Have a fair amount of people.
Yeah, but everybody's here. It's 13 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It is.
It's pretty normal, though. Alex knows. It gets a little hectic at times.
A little bit.
But it's, I mean, it's nice. There's all, we've gotten it to a point where we're about 2 days out of the week where there's really nobody here. Things are pretty quiet, pretty normal. Like 2 complete days, if not more.
Yeah.
So usually it's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Our days with people here.
That wasn't cool.
Just
I paid the bill.
Did you pay all the dollars?
I paid all the bills. All the bills are paid. I almost didn't pay the water bill. And we had like 2 hours before they would have like come and been like, no water for you.
So.
It's a little more subdued today. I'm sorry. My allergies really are just killing me today. I took allergy medicine earlier. I feel a little, like, floaty-headed.
No.
It's horrible.
You know, a little giddy.
You know it's bad when... Right? Yeah.
Warning.
Yeah. What's the word? FYI, if we cut out suddenly, I guess because the power went out. I don't really know why. There's literally...
Angel didn't pay the bill.
It's not because I didn't pay the bill. I don't know what's going on. We seem to... The power keeps dropping a little bit. I'm not really sure what's going on. But that's why. You know it's bad, though, when, like, I take my daughter twice a week to physical therapy, and I wait outside of my car and watch my phone for an hour, and then, you know, take her home. And normally, it's not a problem. This morning, I literally almost kept falling asleep in my car, in the car, and I was so afraid because of where we live, because Knoxville is, like, the home of meth heads, that somebody was going to walk by my car and think I was nodding out right in front of the damn therapy place. They were going to call the police on me.
So you weren't scared that a meth head was going to cut up and kill you. You were scared that someone was
going to
judge you.
Yeah. Because there's the same, like, seven people. There's, like, one of those nutrition drink places there.
Yeah.
On the other end. And so there's, like, the same seven people every time I go that walk past the car when I'm parked there. And I was like, one of these is going to walk past and be like, oh, she's a being. Call the police.
It's a
Narcan
in his neck.
That's amazing.
You're
going to
waste
the Narcan
needle in your
car. The car's running and I'm passed out. Like, I'm not high.
You need to tape up a little note that says I'm not
high. It's just allergies. Please don't call the police. I don't need Narcan.
Jesus.
I need to write one of those up and just keep it in the car. Just drink spring. It's just allergies. Leave it alone.
Not even worried that you might sleep through her appointment. She might be in there for four extra hours.
Knocking on the window outside. Mommy!
Oh, Lord. Oh,
my God. It wouldn't be as funny if that wasn't true, because there are so many people that do that just, like, pull up someplace, car's running, and then they just, like, pass out in the driver's seat, and they really are high.
Well, most of the time, they're going to knock on the window and be like, are you okay? Do you need any Narcan? Are you high?
Not Karen's. Karen's, don't
Karen.
Just call the police.
And the police will knock on you.
Like, get the fuck away from me.
I'm cool.
Hold up my nasal spray.
I'm high on nasal. I'm high on Flonase.
It doesn't say I can't operate machinery.
I'm high on the Flonase.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So we do have quite a show tonight, actually. It's an interesting show that we haven't done. And I'm looking forward to it. So when we come back from break, we will get into the show. We'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. If you would like to call in and talk to us about tonight's show, you can. All you got to do is call in at 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. And that'll bring you into the studio with us. You can also check out our live stream on the Facebook page. You can message us on there, and we will either answer you back on the live stream or on the radio. So, all right. So tonight we are taking a turn from talking about movies, and we're talking about and soundtracks and different composers and stuff like that tonight.
Well, I'll tell you. So I use almost the same site for a lot of my lists, so to speak. I was a little disappointed in this one because there are movies with music that I love that are not on this list, and it's the top 50 of all time.
Yeah.
And so I don't really understand that, but whatever.
Well, we'll talk about our favorites. But before we get into tonight's show, there was something that I did not do in the intro that was extremely rude of me, and I sincerely apologize.
How are you doing?
Do yours.
Okay. Sorry, I got a little distracted. Alex, how was your week?
Boring. I did nothing. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so before we get going, because it's a must, we have to give a huge shout-out today to the Godfather.
Yes.
It is his birthday.
Yes.
And, you know, we just want to know what you do, and we love you, and happy, 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 happy birthday.
Old man.
Old man. We'll be celebrating soon.
Yeah. He's younger than me, but got more gray head beard than I do.
You couldn't tell, though.
He's younger than me, too.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
now you're just lying.
No, he's younger than me.
That's fucking crazy.
Thanks.
I'm just
kidding.
No, you look younger than him.
Did he turn?
He turned 40 last year.
40?
He did?
Yeah.
I thought he turned, what?
My stepdad is 10 years older than y'all. Than you.
Ha! Oldie.
Why did we not do a big 40th thing?
Well, you got to think, last year we had just walked into lockdown. I believe last year was his 40. What year is this? So he's born in 1980. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Then that's why. Last year we had just stepped into the realm of what the hell.
Yeah.
And didn't really know what was going on.
Okay, now back to the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
That little detour. All right, so tonight's show was actually, tonight's idea was actually brought to us by Alex Merrill. Alex, I don't know why.
Weirdo.
I want to start all over. Because I don't know where the fuck I was going with any of that.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, like every golf ball I've ever hit just starts out straight and goes this way. Kind of like every round I shot out of my pistol. All right, so tonight's idea was given to us by Alex, and I want him to start us off.
Yay.
I know you're like, fuck.
Start off with, like, how, like...
However you want.
What gave you this idea?
Yeah. What brought this on?
Well, there was a text message sent to the group chat, and I was just driving in my car, and I was listening to music, and I figured, hey, We haven't done anything like soundtrack or score wise. Those are pretty important movies. Why not talk about those in like some of our favorites?
Why do you think they're so important?
Well, without music, things are like kind of boring. Like sometimes without music, it's important to kind of set a tone. But if you're doing like an action sequence or like a important build up, I think there needs to be some type of music or background to it. Like in for example, in episode 4, Luke is staring at the twin suns. If that song was not playing, it would just be a blonde guy staring at two suns. We would have no feeling of why that scene is important. But since there's such a, I don't know, emotional score behind it, we get like the weight of the situation.
Yeah. Or in episode 1, when Darth Maul is fighting Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, it's called the Duel of Fates for a reason. And it really sets up the rest of the tone, or sets the tone for not only the rest of the movie, but the rest of the series, the rest of the franchise.
Yeah. Not only that, but it like helps me identify like what is going on. Like when I hear the Harry Potter like theme, I'm like, oh, it's wizard, it's magical. Like we're about to get into some sorcery. When I hear like Avengers, it's something epic's gonna happen. Like I don't know, there's just a heavy weight that scores carry.
And I was actually thinking about this yesterday. Because when we went to Sci-Fi City, he had a bunch of different, like, theme songs from, and music from different sci-fi shows playing. And there was a couple of Star Wars songs in there. And I could pick out what scene and episode that is from. And...
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with Star Trek. I knew that, you know, you have the difference in the music for the different series. You have Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Next Generation, and all that. And it helps, it sets the tone for what that moment is going to be about or what that television series is going to be about.
Yeah.
So...
Or like in Footloose, when they're playing Let's Hear It for the Boy, we wouldn't be rooting that little weirdo on so much.
Yeah.
And his love to dance if it wasn't for that song.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite songs in that movie. I'm not crying. It is allergies.
You know, we wouldn't feel, you know, the passion in... Top Gun, if we didn't have Take My Breath Away.
That wasn't even in the list.
Well, that's crap, because it's literally one of the best movie soundtracks out there.
I know. I was at... So, you know, still one of the greatest grossing soundtracks to sell.
It's The Bodyguard.
And I have that soundtrack somewhere. It was a good soundtrack, but there are soundtracks that I actually like better.
Yeah, there are soundtracks that are, while they may not be on a top 50 list or whatever, they're more impactful specifically for different generations than others. Like when Highway to the Danger Zone comes on, I know immediately it's Top Gun, and I get that feeling, and I can literally in my mind see the fucking F-14s fly, you know?
Yeah, I don't have the same experience. I know that from Family Guy.
You know, or the beginning, you know, the opening song for Top Gun, the Top Gun theme song, you know, it's music and scores and soundtrack hold nostalgia for us. And when we have popular artists that do music for movies, it brings that back for us. When we hear them on the radio and stuff like that. It's like that one song from The Breakfast Club at the end.
That didn't make sense either.
That's bullshit.
Like, every time I hear that song, that's all I think of is right there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know the name of the full song. The song goes, I'm all right.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Saved by the Bell?
Instantly. No. No. Caddyshack, the gopher. Yeah. I think of the gopher.
And you know, when I was younger, there were actual music producers or
composers
that we actually knew by name and that we actually were excited about. When my favorite growing up from, you know, teenage years was Danny Elfman.
Oh, yeah.
Loved him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's one of the ones I wanted to talk about.
Absolutely. Like, I didn't know that he did Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
And
he also did The Simpsons.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah. For me, it's always been John Williams.
Him too.
I mean, his
for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. His work for the opening, you know, the Star Wars thing. Everybody knows the Star Wars thing. And all these different composers, they have all of their different styles of composing, obviously. Danny Elfman's is a little softer notes and,
yes,
and more flowy music, whereas John Williams has that hard hammering music, those hard punctuating notes that you can hear. And you know immediately when one of them has come on or when one of them has done work. I'm having a hard time talking tonight.
It's the allergies.
It's not the allergies, it's the alcohol. I haven't had enough.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that being a problem.
Right, Pog, it's sitting right in front of you.
I know, I'm...
Drink faster!
Chug, chug.
Yeah, another soundtrack that comes to mind that is, like, immediately identifiable is Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
To almost everybody who's ever seen it. I mean, obviously there's movies out there that some of us are like, I love the music in that movie, but not everybody knows it.
Right.
So, but with that one, I mean, freaking Patrick Swayze sings in the movie.
Yeah. So. I mean, so...
If you don't know any of that music, it's still weird.
So I'm going to put myself out there a little bit and have my game on it.
What?
I have the Dirty Dancing soundtrack.
I have the Dirty... I have literally seen Dirty Dancing more times than all of my children's ages combined.
So I didn't.
That's
really
my grandma's favorite movie.
It's not my favorite movie.
Literally stopped her in her tracks.
It's not my favorite movie.
That is the one movie my grandma, who barely moves, and when she does move, she looks like she's still sitting down. That's the only movie she'll go out and actually see, like when it's playing in theaters, Dirty Dancing, like when the...
Why is it Grandma's? I grew up with that movie, man. I love that. 1987, I was only 9. Not that old. Kind of old. I'm not that old.
They were teens and young adults, and it touched their fucking teen, young hearts. I don't know.
My favorite soundtrack is The Princess Bride. By far.
Yeah. I mean, Peter Cetera does some really awesome things.
I can't even tell, like, I loved that soundtrack.
Yeah.
My favorite.
My favorite soundtrack, other than Star Wars, of course.
Yeah.
My favorite soundtrack is, honestly, it's a tie between Top Gun and Back to the Future.
I always liked the Knight's Tales soundtrack too, though. Like, I love the music in that movie.
Yeah.
It was different, and I mean, obviously, we can see a theme here. I just like those kind soundtracks to those kinds of movies. I don't know. It's just different. It's not like mainstream music, and it's, you know, not stuff you hear all the time.
No. But I mean, at the same time, it's it's got some of those like popular artists for the time in it, and it connects you on a level for that time period.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't, you can't tell. I mean, my music is always going to be more that like 80s, early 90s movies.
Yeah. And that's kind of where mine lies. I mean, I love Huey Lewis in the News. I love Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
You know, when they did music for movies and that. And if you look at soundtracks, you look at music and stuff like that, the 80s really was the explosion of soundtracks, because these movies, they would have these artists on there that would do one or two songs, and they would be really popular. And that's when soundtracks really became popular to sell. You know, I mean, you look at Footloose, it's one of the best soundtracks out there. I think Kenny Loggins did that one as well.
He did one of the songs.
Yeah, he did the title song.
Yep, Footloose.
Yeah, and Kenny Loggins did Top Gun.
Yes.
And then you've got Peter Cetera for
so
Princess Bride. You've got Huey Lewis in the News for Back to the Future. And then you've got artists that come in and specifically say, hey, I want to do a song for this movie. You look at MC Hammer, who did Adam's Family. You look at Bobby Brown, who did music for Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
You know, you have some of these popular artists that are either asked to do, hey, can you put in a song for this? Or they go to the music director and was like, hey, I have a song for this.
Yeah, I mean, well, then we had these like Pretty in Pink, who brought, especially in the 80s, really brought forth some of that what we would consider alternative music, which I thought was really cool,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't mainstream artists. They were literally like these off-the-wall artists whose music that they used. I always thought that was kind of cool, too, for that movie especially.
Yeah.
Because she worked in an off-the-wall record store, and so they used, like, Echo and the Bunny Man, New Order, the Psychedelic Furs. Like, these are not bands that people were well aware of.
Right.
But we got to hear their music. And
it's
that
like
was
the Clerks
cool.
from the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
My favorite soundtrack?
Yeah.
Well, I like Star Wars's, but more specifically, I think Episode 3 has some of the best work John Williams has done. Especially with the weight that movie carried, I don't think it would have been the same without John Williams' music. Like, Anakin's Betrayal, that specific, like, score, I don't know. It almost makes you want to cry, because you know, like, what he has to do. And it carries a lot of weight emotionally, and it's just a lot, and it makes the movie just 10 times better. But then you have, like, the fight scenes when it has, like, the more, I wouldn't say, like, upbeat, but, like, epic and battle music. And it still, I don't know, it shows the scale of the battle a little bit better. I think John Williams knows how to compose music to a movie pretty well.
So I would have to say that out of all of the movie composers out there, John Williams is probably, number one for me, the best. And number two, one of the most influential. I mean, if you look at the list of movies that he's done, I'll go through a couple of them, and I'll start with, you know, movies that we would know, because he's been doing it since '88. He's been composing music for TV and movies. But we're going to start with, where is it? Hold on, I just had it. Start back in 72. with the original Poseidon Adventure. He composed the music for that. 74, The Towering Inferno, he did Jaws. He's worked with Spielberg and Lucas a lot.
Like, yes.
He is their number one go-to when it comes to composing music.
What was the movie where they were like trying to communicate with the alien ship?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, yeah, that one was...
That's John Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did that right after Star Wars. He did Superman with Christopher Reeve. We know he did all of the Star Wars. He did
all
of the
fun fact about Episode 9? John Williams composed all original music for Episode 9, like original scores and everything, but Disney ditched him and used old music that he'd composed for previous movies. So Episode 9 could have had a different like feeling to it if they would have used that music that he made for it.
It's
very upsetting. Because, I mean, if you think about it, he went through all that work composing hours of music just for it to be thrown out the window.
It might have actually been a little better if we're talking, if we're looking at it.
Yeah.
Because there is no Star Wars movie without John Williams, period.
That and we'll never be able to hear what that music is. Because they never used it. He never released it.
Yeah. But John Williams has done every Superman movie, every Indiana Jones, every Star Wars, music for E.T. Do you remember the movie Space Camp?
Yes.
Where the kids accidentally get shot up into space? Yep. Which is a V-Slip.
I loved that movie.
Born on the 4th of July, Home Alone, Hook, JFK. He did some for Gilligan's Island. He did the music for Home Alone. He did the music for Schindler's List.
You've never seen that. You need to see that.
Well, thanks for calling me out.
I'm just saying. Like,
okay, I haven't seen it either.
It's good.
And Private Ryan. AI. Artificial Intelligence. Stanley Kubrick film. The Patriot. Alex, did you know that he did Harry Potter?
Sure did.
He did the music for Harry Potter, which totally makes sense if you think about it. So, I mean, he's done...
Okay.
So, I mean, just... The list of stuff that he has done is just amazing.
Did you say Jurassic Park?
I did not, but yes, he did do the music for Jurassic Park. I forgot. It's another Spielberg film.
Yeah, I mean, his just portfolio is crazy.
Yeah. And the thing is a lot of the movies that he did the scores to are some of our favorite movies and some of our geekdoms here in the house. I mean, Star Wars, obviously.
Yes.
But Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, I mean, just... So.
He's basically the greatest of all time when it comes to movie composers and composers in general.
I'm still a fan of Danny Elfman.
Well, okay, so let's compare the two. Let's compare Danny Elfman to John Williams. So when we look at Danny Elfman's, and I'm only looking at him, I'm only looking at the two as composers. When we look at Danny Elfman's work, he started in 1980, but he did Pee-wee's Big Adventure. He did a couple episodes of Pee-wee's Playhouse. He did Big Top Pee-wee. He did do Beetlejuice. So, I mean, there's one on there for him. Scrooge, he did the 1989 Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Tracy, Darkman, Edward Scissorhands. So Danny Elfman does a lot with Tim Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Burton and Danny Elfman.
They work well together.
Yeah, they work really well together. It's like Spielberg, Lucas, and John Williams.
Yeah.
Their music is the music that they compose is right along with the directing.
Yeah.
Because he did the music for Edward Scissorhands, Batman Returns, Nightmare Before Christmas, Black Beauty, Dolores Claiborne, Dead Presidents. He did Mission Impossible.
Uh huh.
He did The Frighteners, which is one of my favorite Michael J. Fox movies. Mars Attacks, Men in Black. He did Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Sleepy Hollow. Kids, the New Planet of the Apes. Men in Black 2. Spider-Man.
With the Raimi series?
With Tobey Maguire, yeah.
Yeah, the Raimi series.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah, and Spider-Man 2. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Corpse Bride. Nacho Libre. I'm sorry. I almost did it. Meet the Robinsons, Wanted, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, Terminator Salvation, which...
Look at music, not the movie, though.
Yeah. Let's see. Alice in Wonderland, 2010
yep.
version. Dark Shadows, which, again, is another
yeah.
Tim Burton movie.
Yep.
Men in Black 3. Hitchcock, Oz the Great and Powerful, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, Tales from the Crypt from 2014. He did Avengers Age of Ultron.
I know, and the thing is you can see, though, if you look at the two different lists, why I'm more inclined to be a Danny Elfman fan over...
I can't. Danny Elfman does, like I said, a lot of the softer music. Or some of the softer movies. And I'm not saying that Men in Black 3, Dark Shadows, or Batman are
right.
softer movies.
The music is different, though.
The music is different. It has more of a flow to it.
Yes.
Whereas John Williams has these sharp, hard-hitting notes. Danny Elfman likes to use a lot of...
He's emotional in his music.
Yeah. Danny Elfman likes to focus on certain instruments.
Yes, and creating the emotion of the scene. Not just creating the scene, but it's really creating, pulling the strings.
Yeah. Whereas, and Danny Elfman, it's funny that you mentioned strings, because Danny Elfman likes to use a lot of strings.
Yeah.
String instruments.
Yes.
Whereas John Williams, he has those...
The wind instruments.
The big wind instruments. A lot of the, like the horns.
Yep.
He does a lot of horns, a lot of... percussion instrument.
Yeah.
And his notes, while Danny Elfman's notes are flowing and, you know, continuous movement, John Williams has those, the Ronald Reagan notes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, John Williams has those really emotional, hard-hitting soundtracks in there.
He does. It's just different. And I enjoy Danny Elfman's music more than John Williams.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Of course you would. He did 50 Shades of Grey.
I never saw that or read it.
50 Shades Darker.
Really? You never read it?
Yeah, I'm not into soft porn.
Oh.
Dude,
he did the...
so good. Not even just not even the porn part, just like... The story? I don't know.
He did the Justice League 2017 score.
Mm.
He also did the Dumbo, the 2019
yeah.
Dumbo movie.
Which was also?
It's Tim Burton.
Yeah. I still haven't seen it.
What?
And he's doing music for Beetlejuice 2.
There's a Beetlejuice
2? There's a
Beetlejuice
2. Yeah. And Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, see, I just,
there's,
I don't know.
Sam Raimi film.
Yeah.
I
think that's cool to see composers and directors, like, stick together because, like, they know each other and they know what they're looking for.
Absolutely.
I think that's
because
something
we
see with
styles.
A lot of series.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's very similar to, like, actors and directors sticking together. And it seems
well,
to be...
we see that a lot with Tim Burton and
yeah.
a lot of the people that he works with, whether it's behind the scenes or in front of the camera, he has a team that he likes. He has people he likes. He has music he likes. And that's what he likes to stick with.
Tim Burton has a formula.
He does.
He has a formula of one particular actor that he likes
yeah.
to work.
Yeah.
Tim Burton and Johnny Depp. Look, if Tim
They're
Burton
amazing.
Is making a movie and Johnny Depp's in it, regardless, the only one that I have seen that I did not like was Corpse Bride.
I love Corpse Bride.
It's the only movie that I don't like of Tim Burton.
I liked it.
I love that movie.
But I can appreciate it because it is a Tim Burton film.
Yeah, I liked it.
But when you put Tim Burton, Danny Elfman, and Johnny Depp together, It's an almost perfect movie. Look at Edward Scissorhands. There's very few mistakes and things that you can say. If you're a Tim Burton fan or a Johnny Depp fan, you're going to like Edward Scissorhands. If you understand how those two work together. Because that's the first movie they worked on together. But... sorry. Edward Scissorhands is almost a perfect movie.
Yeah.
It's right there, pretty close.
What stops it?
What's that?
What stops it from being a perfect movie?
I mean, there's always going to be little, like plot holes that you can look at in movies and stuff like that. I mean, the biggest glaring plot hole of Edward Scissorhands is why did the creator just give him hands right off the bat versus scissors? You know, I mean, that's
because the creator was weird.
Well, yeah, but that was the most glaring plot hole.
Yeah.
Obviously. But when we look at the political ideology behind Edward Scissorhands, we understand what it's trying to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
I like Corpse Bride more than Edward Scissorhands.
You know what was a good soundtrack?
What?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
That is actually one of my favorite soundtracks. I forgot about that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and I've never actually seen the movie 100% all the way through.
Really?
Yeah. The parts that I've seen, I've always loved.
Yeah.
It's a really great story.
It is. So it's based on Homer's Odyssey.
Yes.
And it is such a fantastically done movie. And the soundtrack to it is...
it's very bluegrass.
It's, yeah, absolutely. It's very... 1940s, 1950s.
So it was the Depression era of the
yeah, 30s, 40s bluegrass feel to it. And it makes you feel upbeat and at the same time kind of gives you that calming effect to it.
Well, I love Alison Krauss.
Yeah.
So having her be part of it was amazing. And then, you know, George Clooney and the Soggy Bottom Boys. You gotta love them. I'm not a hugely Christian. I'm not a Christian.
Right.
I'm not a hugely religious person. But Alison Krauss's "Down in the River to Pray"
yeah.
is one of my favorite songs.
It is actually a really good song because it's, and when you link it with the with the movie and the scene in the movie that it's that
it's linked
that
to.
It has
yeah.
It. It actually has a lot of emotion to it.
Yeah, I actually enjoy hearing that song.
Yeah,
a lot. So
the next one, next composer I want to talk about is Hans Zimmer.
I'm sure Alex knows more about that than me.
Alex, you know who Hans Zimmer is, right?
Yeah, I was actually Googling a composer for a show I just finished up, and then he was, like, related to it. And as soon as you said that, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. So I started looking through some of his movies.
So he's actually done quite a bit.
He's done like, a lot of it.
Yeah, I think he's done, because he only started in 82. But I would have to say his resume is almost as extensive as John Williams. So if you look at some of the things that he's done, I'll start with one that we would know here. Rain Man.
Oh, yeah.
Twister.
Yep.
Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah.
Bird on a Wire. What's wrong with Bird on a Wire?
I don't know, one of my favorites.
Days of Thunder.
Oh, yes.
Green Card.
Oh, I love that movie.
Thelma and Louise.
Have you ever watched that movie? Green Card?
Yeah.
You want to know why I love that movie?
Why?
Because I love the actor. Do you know what his name is?
Huh.
Gerard Depardieu. I used to love that movie so
much.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
Backdraft. Radio Flyer.
Radio Flyer was my very first date movie ever.
Regarding Henry. A League of Their Own.
Definitely.
Toys.
Really?
Yep.
The music in that movie was pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's see. The Lion King 94. The original Lion King.
But 90% of that music was Elton John.
No, only two songs of his were Elton John. Only two songs were Elton John, yeah.
No.
Yeah. When you look at like the African chants and stuff like that, especially the opening, that's all Hans Zimmer.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Crimson Tide. 9 months.
Have you ever seen that?
I have.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah.
The Rock. With, fuck, what the names tonight? Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Thin Red Line. Gladiator.
Gladiator had a lot of music in it.
Mm-hmm. Mission Impossible 2. Hannibal. Pearl Harbor.
A lot of movies I didn't think he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Riding in Cars with Boys. The Ring.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Damn.
2002. Tears of the Sun.
Okay.
Matchstick Men. The Last Samurai. King Arthur. Thunderbirds, oh my god. Sorry. Shark Tale, Spanglish, Madagascar. He did Batman Begins.
Yeah.
He
did the whole Nolan series, or trilogy for Batman.
Yep.
He's done a lot of Christopher Nolan movies, actually.
Yeah, he has.
Inception and Interstellar.
Yep. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and At World's End. Again, Dark Knight. Kung Fu Panda.
Hmm.
Angels and Demons. He did Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Sherlock Holmes. Yeah.
He did Black Hawk Down. I don't know if he said that yet.
I don't know if I've got... I don't think I said that.
You know, I'll let you finish up with the with Zimmer. Because there's another really good one.
Yeah. Parts of the Sherlock Holmes, The Game of Shadows, Dark Knight Rises, Man of Steel, The Lone Ranger, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is a crappy movie, but pretty good soundtrack, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Inferno, 2016 version, Dunkirk.
I still have never seen that, though.
No. Blade Runner 2049, Lion King 2019, Dark Phoenix, Wonder Woman 84, and he composed music for The New Doom, No Time to Die, Top Gun Maverick, and the new Space Jam movie.
Yeah, you see, like we mentioned it before, the trend of composers sticking with directors. He did a lot of work for Christopher Nolan and Zack Snyder.
And I can see Hans Zimmer's music is more of that fantasy type of music.
Right.
Like, I couldn't see Danny Elfman doing Dawn of Justice.
Right.
Whereas with Hans Zimmer, he's got those big portrayals of music.
Yeah.
You know, he does those big movies that have the outstanding action sequences and stuff like that. And he really put himself into those movies. And into that music. So.
Alex, who was the composer you were looking at?
I can't really pronounce his name. The difficult name. But he did the music for Game of Thrones. Which it didn't really have too much music in it, but it was pretty good. So.
Well, I have a composer for you.
Hold on, let's see if I can Ramin Djawadi. Yeah, Ramin Djawadi. Okay, who's your next composer?
So, Tyler Bates.
Okay. I
haven't really heard of him.
Okay.
But he did, Ballistic, Born Bad, Get Carter... I'm skipping here. Kingdom Come. Night at the Golden Eagle. Lone Star State of Mind. Love and a Bullet. City of Ghosts. Half Past Dead. You Got Served. Badass. Dawn of the Dead. The Dead Will Tell. The Devil's Rejects.
Nice.
Yes. 30 Days in Hell, which was the making of The Rejects.
Yeah.
Slither, See No Evil, 300. The reason I looked him up in the first place is because I thought of 300 because a lot of that movie is based around its music.
Okay. Yeah.
He did 300. He also did Grindhouse, Halloween, 2007.
Yeah.
Doomsday, Day of the Dead, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Watchmen, Halloween 2. The Haunted World of El Super Bisto. Yeah.
Nice.
Transformers. He did video games too. So he had Sucker Punch, Conan the Barbarian, which was 2011, Killer Joe, Sacrament, Not Safe for Work, Flight 7500, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
John Wick.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson, Deep Six.
Mm-hmm. The Belko Experiment.
Marilyn Manson, Say 10. Salem, which was a TV series, John Wick 2.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
Yeah, so he had some interesting things in his... He worked a lot with Rob Zombie, Marilyn Manson. He did a lot of things to do with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Deadpool.
He did a lot with Marilyn Manson, actually.
Yeah.
John Wick Chapter 3, Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. And yet I had never heard of him.
So when we look at like famous composers, we're looking at number one, like their movies. If you look at Guardians of the Galaxy and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, we know them because of the songs, not because of the composed music.
Right.
And when we look at like John Wick Chapter 2 and Chapter 3, we're looking at those more along the lines of, like, the movie.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, so the music actually adds a lot to the movie.
Yeah.
And you know, like we said, it gives it that, the feel that we're supposed to feel in the movie. And that just totally made absolutely no sense. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
You're fine.
It allows us to step into the movie.
Yeah.
One of the biggest franchises that music is, and scores and stuff like that, are very important in is horror.
Yeah.
Because,
oh, yeah, like Halloween and Friday the 13th.
And if you look at, like, Alien and stuff like that.
I don't really think of that as horror, but.
Alien
is sci-fi horror.
And sci-fi horror, but it's definitely horror.
Boring.
Boring? Did you say boring?
I've never been an Alien fan. I only like the one where she was in, like, the prison. Bald. Scary.
The third one?
Sure.
I think
just so we're clear, I'm completely hopped up on allergy medicine. I don't even know why you're looking at me like that.
I don't understand what... That is like the worst one in the entire franchise.
And, yeah, I was going to say, out of all of those...
and that includes Covenant.
I don't know what to tell you. The only one that comes to mind that I was like, she's kind of badass.
The first one, of course... It's, I mean, okay, so...
I'll give you the first one. She's a badass. I just...
The best is Aliens.
Blah.
As long as you can get the director's cut. What? They mostly come out at night. Mostly. Like, how are you not afraid of that? How are you not...
Thank you, researcher. He agrees with me.
What?
It's all pretty bad. Just not my cup of tea. I know you love them, and I think that's great. It's just not, they're definitely not movies that I'm like, ooh, it's on. I want to sit down and watch it.
I think the Alien movies, to sum it up, they're more of like the Godzilla movies. Like, they're more like monster movies. Like, you're supposed to be afraid of the monster, not the actual, like, atmosphere.
Well,
but that's besides the point, because it has a good soundtrack.
I'm going to disagree, because we're going to go off on a little track here.
I got something for you here in a minute.
Yeah, and I've got another.
So are you scared of the, like, atmosphere, like the ship she's on, or are you scared of, like, the queen alien of the whole thing that's, like, hunting her down?
Okay, so if you look at the very first movie, Alien.
That could be said about, like, Godzilla. I'm scared of Godzilla, but not the city he's in.
I'm not scared of the city he's in.
Let's take a look at the very first movie that came out in 1979.
Ooh, I love that.
Wow.
Catch.
Ridley Scott, done by Ridley Scott,
yeah,
and directed, starring Sigourney Weaver. If we look at the movie, the whole purpose of the scare factor of the movie was the dark, not the alien. It's the dark, because you don't get a full glimpse of the alien until the end of the movie. We very rarely see any part of the alien
It's the mystery of the alien.
It feeds on people's natural fear of the unknown and the dark.
You're right, but literally every time I think of Alien, I think of a spoof scene, which I think is from Spaceballs.
Oh, God. When the alien comes out and then starts dancing across the thing?
That's all that was in my head.
Hello, my right hand.
Also, I did like the head.
It was the same actors in Spaceballs that were in Aliens.
Yeah, the exact same
actors. And the guy that said that had the alien burst through his chest.
That was had a tummy ache.
It's the same one.
Had a tummy ache. I don't feel so good.
Yeah. And then when he looked down, that's why he said, "Oh no, not again."
Yep.
I think it's
scary for the first time through when you don't know what the xenomorph looks like, but when you know what it looks like and you go back and watch it through, you know what's in the dark, and it's not as scary. I think that's why people think it's more of a sci-fi type of movie.
But it's the same as like Event Horizon. It's another one of those fear the unknown, fear the dark type sci-fi horror movies, and it's so when Alien came out in 1979, we didn't have a full and complete understanding of space. And we still don't, by any means. But it played on people's fears of aliens coming down to kill us, and it played on our fears of creatures that we can't fight, that we have no defense against. It's the same thing with War of the Worlds. And
I actually liked that movie.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
I liked that movie, too.
The original, not the one with Keanu Reeves. It was crap.
Oh, I liked Keanu Reeves.
It was crap.
I liked Keanu Reeves.
The original was better. And it plays on those fears. And the reason why we are so frightened in those movies is literally because of the score. Because you have those deeper tones in them, and you have that softer type, almost like
eerie feeling.
Yeah, eerie music that gives you that anxiety, and you have those moments that are almost jump scare moments, but you have that music that leads up to it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes these movies so great. It's like the show that we're watching right now, American Horror Story, Cult, because we haven't watched the other ones yet. But when you're watching the show, it's almost playing in the background and you don't really pay attention to it. But those lower tones give you that anxiety. They are there. And I've actually read about this. In a horror movie, there are notes that are so low that it's very hard for the human ear to perceive, to recognize consciously. But when we hear it and when we feel it, we get that anxiety. And that's what these horror movies do. That's what they place those in there purposely to give us that feeling of anxiety to build on those movies.
Okay, so counter-argument from... Go ahead.
Yeah, so the researcher just brought up a counter-argument, which I was kind of thinking about, but he said scores are predictable. A Quiet Place, when it's dead, quiet is more scary. I'd have to agree. I think just scores are just... They're as important as they are when they're not there. Like, when there's nothing there and it's just silent, I think that's what really draws on people's fear sometimes. Like what you said, a quiet place. I think that's what made that movie so frightening and scary.
Now, I will give you that, because the movie was designed to be silent. And there was very little, if any, score to the movie.
Yeah.
And that even into the movie, because you are basically feeling what the characters are feeling. And that's the importance of scores, is to give you that feeling of what the characters are feeling.
Yeah, but say, like, I can't really give a specific example, but, like, if, like, the final survivor in a serial killer movie is hiding from the serial killer and there's a score behind it, you kind of get distracted. Well, if there wasn't a score, you would feel the emptiness and, like, almost like lone survivor instinct that they would have. Like, they're alone, there's nothing there, she can't hear anything because the killer's moving quietly and she doesn't know where he's at, and... I think it's as important to not have music in certain points as it is to have music in certain points.
And I absolutely agree with you. And that's actually a perfect example where you have somebody hiding and the music just cuts off and it's silent except for, you know, the actual physical sounds around. And that's actually part of the score, too. So, you know, you have the score, which is the sound effects in the movie. Then you have the soundtrack, which is the music for the movie. And we've actually focused a lot on soundtrack. But you're absolutely right, Alex, and even the researcher. The score is what makes the movie. That coupled with the soundtrack... Having the perfect sound effects placed in the right moment can really give you either the feeling of dread, anxiety, or the feeling of hope, like happiness and stuff like that. If you hear, if you hear wind chimes outside and stuff like that, you know that, there's wind blowing, stuff like that, and it can give you that, that feeling of, being in that area.
Yeah, I think that's more with, sound effects, though. Like, that's how the director set up the sound effects. It's not really how the composer set up this, like... score and music and stuff, because like the score is like an generally like an instrumental type of thing that's behind the movie, like generally like in the beginning, like a theme song, or maybe it's like a reoccurring song throughout the movie.
Yeah, so we were talking about the movie Alien and the soundtrack and the score is actually composed by one of my favorites, Jerry Goldsmith, who did the Alien soundtrack, but has also done, he also did the music for Star Trek The Motion Picture, Secret of NIMH, Poltergeist, First Blood, Twilight Zone the movie. A lot of the Rambo movies, he did Gremlins. And a lot of the newer Star Trek movies, and he actually did First Night, by the way. Jerry Goldsmith.
Really?
Yeah. Chain Reaction, Ghost in the Darkness, The Mummy. And he's just one of those that, you know, adds that flavor to the movie.
Yeah.
So.
I think a composer that deserves a mention is Howard Shore. He did the Lord of the Rings and Hobbit series.
Okay.
I feel like those movies are unique because, not because of the soundtrack, but soundtrack definitely helps in making those movies feel unique and more like a fantasy adventure movie.
Oh yeah, I completely agree with you. The soundtrack and the score within, because I haven't seen the Hobbit movies yet, but the Lord of the Rings.
Familiar.
Yeah. The music for the Lord of the Rings is, it's got that fantasy feel to it.
Didn't it win an Oscar for its soundtrack and score?
I think it did, honestly. And in one scene, Aragorn's traveling companion, the other human that was tempted by the ring. I don't remember his name.
Best original score.
Barad-dûr.
Yeah.
From the researcher, by the way.
Oh.
And he said they actually reuse a lot of it for nostalgia, like, out of laziness.
Yeah. But when he dies, it's not just like a choir singing just vowels. It's actually Elvish that they're singing.
Right.
And they're singing him off to his death, essentially. Off to the afterlife.
Yeah.
So
fun fact.
Yeah.
Do you know who did the soundtrack for Princess Bride?
I don't remember.
Mark Knopfler.
Uh-huh.
Who mainly does TV shows, as in, like, the very last episode of Supernatural. He did some of the music for that. Yeah. Most of his background, most of his filmography credits are TV shows, and then somewhere in there is The Princess Bride, and he did multiple songs for it.
Huh.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool, because I've never even heard of him.
Yeah.
But he's done, you know, like, SEAL Team, and he did do something in Bohemian Rhapsody, and but he's got, like, most of his stuff is Young Sheldon, Despicable Me 3, This Is Us, Daddy's Home. Yeah. I mean, most of it is, like, Kingsman Secret Service, though, so that's kind of cool. By the way, researcher said Boromir, too similar, both are bitches, though.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, Boromir, yeah. Yeah. So, we would be remiss in talking about soundtracks and scores and stuff like that if we did not bring up two of the best that had songs in their soundtrack by one of the greatest rock bands of all time. First one, we're going to talk about Flash Gordon.
Okay.
And Queen doing the title song.
Okay.
I mean, Queen doing the title song for a B-rated movie that...
Yeah, but
it's a cult classic.
Here's the thing, though. A lot of those bands, when we look at them, like Whitesnake and AC/DC and, like, all of these older rock bands did a lot of those.
Right. We did that.
Yeah, but why not jump on that bandwagon? A lot of bigger name rock bands did these weird B movies because they were fun at the time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not Flash Gordon. I don't know why they did that one. But,
because,
you know,
Flash Gordon is fucking awesome.
I'm just saying, though, like, you do... Another one that we would honestly be remiss of not bringing up, though.
Hold on. Because I got to bring up the other one.
Okay, right.
And so I'm going to put this out as a quiz, and I don't want you looking it up.
I'm scrolling through what I was going to read you.
Do you know what other movie Queen had the title song for?
No.
Hint, it also became a TV series.
No.
And the title song was in the TV series.
Mm.
Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, no, then no.
On to the kings, where the princes of the universe.
I probably the Suicide Squad.
No. Alice, do you know it?
Nope.
I know that song, though.
And do you know the answer? It's one of your most hated movies because it has one of your most hated actors in it. It also has one of your most favorite actors in it. Slash Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery.
Oh, Jesus. The Highlander?
Yes,
oh, God. So what
yes, it's the Highlander. And I really want them to make a remake of this.
No.
I really want them to bring back the franchise because it's such an interesting storyline.
Yeah,
it's a very unique storyline. You can't tell me it's not.
It's not because I grew up with a family member that shoved that crap down my throat like it was just like her whole life story. And she could have lived in that time, and she could have been those people. And I freaking hate it. Plus, I'm sorry, Christopher Lambert is super derpy looking.
So, fun fact.
He's derpy?
No.
Okay.
our very, very oldest. What?
You can't hear that?
Uh-huh.
He was laughing.
Was he? Oh. Our oldest was almost named Adrian Paul.
I'm so glad he wasn't. Adrian Paul Mill.
After the lead actor in the Highlander series.
I'm really glad he didn't do that. That might have been like the breaking point right there.
I don't even know what I was missing after.
I think, honestly, you were just Alexander Reed. That's what I came up with.
One and only.
One and only.
Uh-huh.
So when we talk about those rock groups and the, like, B-movies, heavy metal was a B-movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it had Black Sabbath, Blue Oyster Cult, Cheap Trick, Devo, Donald Fagen, Don Felder, Grand Funk Railroad, Sammy Hagar, Journey, Nazareth,
Hagar.
Stevie Nicks, Riggs, and Trust. What?
Hagar, not Hager.
Whatever.
Sammy Hagar.
Hagar.
That's how you pronounce it.
Good. But it had all those people in it. They didn't have to do that movie. It was a weird-ass movie. But
it's a cool movie. It
was a B-movie, though.
Still, whatever. You go away with yourself.
Okay, so when we talk about movie soundtracks themselves,
okay,
one of the most well-known, even though it's not top grossing, probably should have been. Not one of my favorite movies, but I can appreciate its cult following and its popularity.
Okay.
What do you think it is? Like, probably the most popular if you think of it.
Well, for me, I'm a little biased, obviously.
And it's older. So for our younger people, it is older. It's, not sit here and scroll because that's annoying and slow. Let's see what year it was. Okay, so the year...
Was it 84?
Was 84.
The best soundtrack of all time?
No, I said one of the most popular and probably one of the most well-known.
Most iconic?
Yes.
Is it the Top Gun soundtrack?
No.
It should be.
God! Purple Rain.
Oh, yeah, I saw that number. I was looking stuff up.
So, okay, I'm going to contest that.
Nope.
Because Purple Rain literally only has one song on it that is even halfway recognizable.
Purple Rain. The YouTube parody one, Chocolate Rain, is far more recognizable.
Well, I had Let's Go crazy in it.
But let's look at, I mean, we could even, we'll even look up.
It's listed as number one, though.
We'll even look at the Back to the Future soundtrack.
I know.
From the original.
Okay.
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 I feel like I'm talking in a tunnel.
Before we do that, I'd like to mention Family Guy as a movie that has a good soundtrack, because Seth MacFarlane uses a live orchestra to do all of his music for Family Guy, which is really cool.
Hmm.
That's not like
a
movie or
cool.
Like
it's
a live action.
It's not a movie, but...
Yeah.
But I do think that is interesting and pretty cool.
Yeah, like music is important to him in his shows.
Yeah. I can see that. I love the opening of Family Guy.
Yeah.
Like the whole Broadway opening.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah. So, we're going to take a look at the two most iconic soundtracks that when you hear...
You say.
Okay.
You say.
Okay. When you hear Danger Zone, what do you think of?
Top Gun.
Okay.
Family Guy.
When you... you're... Yeah. When you hear...
I'm gonna...
Take My Breath Away. What do you think of?
Dance.
Wait,
dancing.
What?
No, Take My Breath Away. Top
Gun?
Yes.
By Berlin.
The researcher says, unpopular opinion, but the Back to the Future soundtrack is literally the same song over and over. Hat Films Games.
What?
I don't know what Hat Films Games means.
No, Back to the Future, you have Power of Love, Huey Lewis in the News. You have Back to the Future, done by Alan Silvestri, which is a composer we haven't talked about. You have Back in Time by Huey Lewis in the News. Earth Angel by Marvin Berry.
I love Earth Angel.
Johnny B. Good.
He said Danger Zone is what he thinks of.
That's Top Gun.
We know.
Right. But when you look at Top Gun, you've got Danger Zone, you've got the Top Gun Anthem, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, Great Balls of Fire, Can't Stop This Feeling, The Final Countdown.
He said Hat Films.
Playing with the Boys by Kenny Loggins, Take My Breath Away, You've Lost That Love and Feeling, Broken Wings, and Nothing's Gonna Stop Us. Top Gun has the most influential and iconic soundtrack out there. Because the Top Gun Anthem...
I would have to disagree.
Okay.
When I think of those, like, generally 80s, some 90s movies, they use, like, songs that, like, you would hear on the radio. And I think they're recognizable, but I don't think they're, like, influential or, like...
Well, and, like,
the best,
Austin said,
like, I think
they didn't last long.
Movies that... I think movies that make their, like, original score and, like, original soundtrack, like Star Wars, Jurassic Park, so on, I think those maybe should be in the contending rather than...
Do you think those are more timeless?
Yeah, I think they're better because they're more original and they add more to the movies, like, besides throwing in a 80s throwback, but
so
I guess I'm just thinking of it differently.
The biggest thing with 80s movies is, yes, they did do... music that you heard on the radio.
At the time. They were popular songs.
Yeah, and we hear it on, like, the, I guess, stations now.
Well, kind of, but at the same time, some of those songs weren't as popular until they became part of those movies. And then they were even more popular.
Right. But the thing is when you heard it on the radio, you thought of the movie.
Absolutely.
And you wanted to see the movie again.
Yes, depending on what it was.
Right. But
I think
mean,
more people listen to the song than watch the movie, though. Like, I don't think of Top Gun when I hear half those songs.
That's because you didn't grow up with it, though. The thing is, I guarantee, if I played The Power of Love, you're automatically going to think of Back to the Future. And it brings back that nostalgia, and it makes you want to watch that movie again. That's what it did for the 80s. Is when you heard those songs on the radio. We're not talking about our generation.
Right, that's for us.
Right. But even in the 80s, when you heard those songs on the radio, it made you want to watch that movie again.
Go see it if you hadn't seen it and knew about it.
Right.
Yeah, but that's to a specific group. I don't think, since it, like, appeals to a specific group, it's not the best.
I agree it's not,
like,
timeless, because our kids wouldn't know it.
Right.
Like, if I turned on a Star Wars movie, and anybody in your house, my house, anybody's house that has heard the Star Wars soundtrack, they think, oh, that's Star Wars. We're watching Star Wars. But when they hear Power of Love, they're like, oh, somebody turned on the 80s soundtrack on Alexa and whatnot.
He said, oh, the boomer talk begins, Alex. We've lost the battle because he's just going to nuke both countries.
I guess so.
No, I do agree, though, and I will agree with both sides. Because for us, when we hear certain songs, and maybe I do turn on the damn 80s music on Alexa, but then when those songs come on, I'm like, oh, man, I miss that movie.
Right?
But then for our kids, they're like, why are you listening to that again?
And the thing is that was the power of soundtracks in the 80s that we don't have.
And 90s, even.
That we don't have nowadays. And I think that's the problem that's one of the problems with the movie industry.
I think they're
not putting out these songs that are going to make you want to watch the movie.
But not with Star Wars.
Right. I mean, Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Jurassic Park, those are...
I don't agree with you. I can't think of a movie in the last decade. Like, I can't think of a song in the last decade that plays on the radio that I'm like, oh, I gotta go see that movie. Like, I don't recognize, at this moment, I don't recognize songs with a lot of movies, current movies.
But, and so a perfect example.
Because movies nowadays aren't using songs made by artists. They're using, like, composed music, whether it be a live orchestra or with a computer. They're using those type of...
They're using sound, though.
Right.
Yeah, they're using sound, and they're using, like, originally made music that, like, is mixed and stuff for that specific movie. They're not taking a movie from the radio and putting it in a movie like they did back then.
Right, but perfect example is I was at work the other day, and the song I'm All Right by Kenny Loggins came on. Immediately when the chorus started playing, of course I started doing the little gopher dance. You know? And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm not going hog wild, but I'm doing my little, you know, butt shaking
the
arms.
The gopher shuffle?
Yeah, the gopher shuffle. And the younger generation is like, huh? They're looking at me like, you're fucking crazy. Whereas the one person that completely understands and is around my age saw me doing it and immediately started cracking up, knew what I was doing. And that's the connection in soundtracks.
Yeah.
Is that when you have these songs that you hear, because you don't hear John Williams or Danny Elfman or Hans Zimmerman or Alvin Silvestri, you don't hear those on the radio. You have to specifically search those out.
Yeah.
But when you hear
that, does not like, I don't think because you hear it on the radio, it doesn't mean it's more influential. Because
maybe,
I mean, some of those songs were on the radio before the movie.
Sometimes,
but
like, I think
hey, let's
that
start in the movie.
The connection to movies is different with your generation than ours, because there was a weird connection to movies through music for us, and the music isn't as important now in movies to you guys.
Right, and you actually have it the opposite. These songs were written for the movie specifically. 99% of the time, these songs were written for the movie, and then they were put on both the soundtrack and on
like they'd be
a separate
single.
They'd even put it on an album. Kenny Loggins, he would release and even Huey Lewis and the News, they would put their music in the soundtrack, release it on the soundtrack, which would cause other people to go buy the album. It was twofold. When you heard the song, you loved the song, so you wanted the song, so you bought the album.
Or the single.
Or the soundtrack, or the single. But it also gave you that nostalgia where you wanted to buy the movie.
Yeah.
It was...
So it's better marketing, not better.
Yeah.
But it was, because we still think of it 30 years later.
The researcher says, by the way, in the last 10 years, Sunflower by Post Malone. Now, originally, I was not a fan of Post Malone, just because of I had a judgmental, bitchy moment.
Right.
When I first knew who Post Malone was, I went off of visual, and he was weird to me, and I was like, whatever, I don't care. I actually really enjoy Post Malone's music, but I don't know where that movie would have come from, Austin. What movie was that from?
Into the Spider-Verse.
Was it? Oh,
Yeah, I remember that.
And it is I will give him that. That is a very recognizable song, because when it plays on the radio, I instantly picture, like, when they're all together, all of the Spider-Verses are together, and they're doing that, like, I don't know, that weird scene where they're all kind of intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
That pops into my head every time I hear that song.
Yeah.
I will give you that, absolutely.
Again, the influence of popular songs on movies.
Yeah.
It still goes today. It's not as
It's not as prevalent.
Yeah, it's not as prevalent today.
But I will give you that, yes.
Yeah.
When I hear that song, I instantly think of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even realize it was Post Malone, to be honest. I just know the song. And
right.
So the song plays, and I'm like, I actually love that movie. So, yes. He said he thinks it's a healthy amount now, though, with certain movies and songs.
Right.
I can see that, I guess.
For us, it's the nostalgia, because we do hear those songs playing on stations that we listen to and stuff like that, and it brings back those fond memories of when we were kids watching those movies.
Absolutely.
Because when I hear Danger Zone, or when I hear Huey Lewis and the News...
I was going to tell you, fun fact... You listen to the news, even though we definitely don't hear it on the radio. It doesn't matter what you listen to. Oliver and Company.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
And
but
they did a lot of the music in there.
When I hear Power of Love, I'm instantly reminded of Back to the Future. And the very first time that I saw that, and it gives me not that nostalgic feeling, but it gives me that feeling of excitement of the very first time that I watched it. And it's the same anytime I watch Back to the Future. And it's the same thing with Star Wars. When you hit that fanfare and you hit that very first note of Star Wars, right out of the gate, it's that exciting feeling. And that's what soundtracks and scores do for us. You know? They give us that feeling of when we watched it for the first time, the excitement of watching the movie for the first time. Even though we know it's going to happen, it gives us that excitement of the movies that we love.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I do, I've always thought that is right. When I look at musical influence on movies, I obviously go back. I'm an 80s kid. I enjoy the music and the movies. Because it was a different time, and it was happier.
Yeah.
There was a lot more feel-good stuff back then, and I enjoy that.
It was a simpler time.
It really was. There wasn't as much drama in life and drama in time, and so, yeah, when I hear those songs, and it makes me think of those movies, I'm like, man, I miss that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not a boomer thing, because I'm not a freaking boomer, but it is a nostalgic thing, and it makes me a little sad that we don't have that same connection. Like, I don't have, I mean, yeah, that was a great example of connecting music to movie.
I think
it's not
Marvel
the same
movies
feeling,
did
though.
That pretty well. Like, I'm sure in 10, 20 years when, like, I watch a Marvel movie and I hear the Marvel or the Avengers theme, it'll take me back to when I first saw it in, like, the theaters and stuff. and like reminisce how it does with you guys.
Kind of, like, but it'll take you back to being able to escape from reality into the Marvel movies. But for me, it takes me back to actual life in the 80s when things weren't so hectic and they weren't so scary.
Right.
And there wasn't so much just craziness going on.
And
so I connect to the movie, but I also connect to the time.
The biggest difference between our generation and in your generation, Alex, is that because we had these written by popular artists, specifically for these movies, we can still hear these songs on the radio, and they still give us those feelings. Like, you won't hear the Avengers theme on the radio.
It's not supposed to be a song you hear on the radio. I think it's a song that's meant for a movie. Like, when they wrote those songs for their movies, they wrote them with the intention of, like, how much money the movie was going to make them off that song.
But
I'm going to make this song for this movie.
Well,
Austin says it makes it more unique in that aspect.
Yeah. I mean, okay. We can actually go on for quite a while.
Yeah.
But we've only got about another.
And here we thought we weren't going to be able to do 2 hours of it.
Right. All right. So we do have about another 6 minutes left. I do want to say thank you to all of the hosts tonight. Thank you, Miss Angel, for joining us. Thank you, Miss Ann, for your insightful inputs.
Thank you for having me. I love listening to you guys.
Thank you, Alex, for joining us tonight. And, of course, always thank you to Austin for his input and for, you know, running the live feed.
Putting us out on the Facebook world.
Yes, talking through to us through the Facebook. I also want to thank all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We do appreciate all of you. Again, this is not something we do for money. This is something we do because we love to do it. We are a family that loves to debate and talk about things. And we like to round our round table and do it.
Or square table.
Or square table, or, you know, whatever table we're on.
Technically a rectangle.
It is technically, it's a parallelogram.
The score is 7, just so you know. Good night.
The score is 7?
I don't want to know.
I don't understand. Anyway. Anyway. Thank you to all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We greatly appreciate you. If you really, really like us, share the pages.
Yeah.
Share all of the pages. Follow them. You know, hit us up a little bit. You know, send us a message or whatever. And as always, be safe. Be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on WikiCuriosity Media. Still kind of tentative for Friday on Note by Note.
Yeah, I'll reach out.
Okay. We will be having a show on Sunday. There will be a movie of the week. Are we having a Falling from Grace podcast on Tuesday?
Next week?
Yes.
Yeah. Something going on? Yeah.
And
we like to talk.
We like to talk shit.
And, you know, as, you know, tentatively planned, we will be having a Cinephiles on Wednesday. So, support the veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are some really good people out there. From all of us here at BTS and Wiki Curiosity, we hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday evening. We hope you have a great rest of your week, and we will see you back here next Sunday night.
Good night, everybody. Come join us next Tuesday for some more gossip.
Good night. We'll see you guys again soon.
I met Falling from Grace.
Yeah.
Good night. I have an idea for next week. I'll put it in the group chat, by the way.
Sweet.
Awesome. All right. Good night, everybody. We love you. And we'll see you soon.
Drip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you loved me, you would tell me you never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you